friends, welcome back to my sunroom. This is episode 2. I'm sitting in my sunroom sipping on some coffee. It's morning for me. I'm not sure if it's morning for you, good morning, if it's evening for you or in the afternoon. I hope you're having a good day. I have a lot of things to do today, and I wanted to make sure that I got all of my thoughts out earlier in the day because I tend to have a lot on my mind. And if you don't know already, I've shared about this on Instagram before, but I started The Artist's Way. It's a book, like a workbook, basically, for really anyone. You don't have to be an artist to do it, but it's got all of these like tasks and artist dates and morning pages that you're supposed to do every day. I started week 1 of this book and maybe like 3 months ago, and the only thing that's stuck so far is morning pages. I've actually been writing my morning pages, which is 3 stream of consciousness pages in a journal every single morning. I've missed maybe 3 days in the past 3 months, but every other day I wake up and I write, 3 full pages of just anything that comes to mind. I often have just so much on my mind in the morning. And so it just feels really good to start the day with like getting all of that out, expressing it. And I don't know, it has helped me move into my day a little more clearer headed. And especially if I'm writing anything, which you can write about literally anything, and there are no rules. You're just trying to fill 3 pages. It could literally be you writing, I don't know what to write about, which I haven't come across that problem yet. I've always had something to put on the pages, but I will often start my pages with like my intentions for the day or things that I know I need to get done or a project that I want to start working on. And I am able to like just flesh out those thoughts and start my day clearer headed, I guess. So that is what I'm doing today, just speaking to you into a microphone. But the thing I wanted to talk about today is kind of related to me starting the podcast in the first place. And it's about practicing what makes you uncomfortable, and how it will lead to, or it can lead to, you being more comfortable doing that thing. So easy example, right, from this podcast, I wouldn't say it's like super uncomfortable for me. It's not uncomfortable for me to talk about myself and the things that I've learned and being vulnerable. I think I've always been pretty comfortable with being vulnerable naturally. Now, I've had situations in life where people that I'm being vulnerable with don't actually make me feel safe and secure in my vulnerability. And I've had to learn who I can share that with. But in general, I think I enjoy being an open person. I like sharing the things that I've learned in my life and things that I've experienced. But starting a podcast and putting myself out there into the world and learning how to edit this audio and putting myself on the internet in general, I think it's definitely a little uncomfortable. And I think a lot of it comes from me worrying about how I'm going to be perceived. For most of my life, I think I've had pretty low self-esteem as far as like feeling like I was intelligent. And I have always felt like I've struggled to say the things that I want to say, the things that are on my heart, in a way that will be understood by anyone. That fear of being misunderstood or like saying something that might hurt someone, that's a big fear of mine. And so I just hadn't developed a ton of confidence in speaking my mind, and it's kind of scary. But the only way that I can get comfortable with speaking my mind, being imperfect, saying things imperfectly, and just allowing my words to hit whoever they're going to hit. That is what's going to make it more comfortable. The more I do it, the more I practice, the better I get at it, and the more comfortable I'll be. Another example, another thing that makes me really uncomfortable that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to is saying no and disappointing people. I mentioned in the last episode, I'm reading this book called Not Nice. And actually, I wanted to read the full title. It's Not Nice: Stop People Pleasing, Staying Silent, and Feeling Guilty, and Start Speaking Up, Saying No, Asking Boldly, and Unapologetically Being Yourself. It's such a good book. And again, it's something that I will talk about more in future episodes. But yeah, it's really uncomfortable because growing up, like I said, in a strict religious military household, we were kept in line, me and my brothers. I have four brothers and I'm the second oldest. We were kept in line and we were, you know, my parents were the types of parents that, you know, for children, they believed children should be seen and not heard for the most part. And my childhood is something that I can dig pretty deep into. But I think one of the biggest impacts it had on me was the fact that I wasn't really allowed to say no to things that made me uncomfortable, things that I didn't like. We had rules and we followed them. And, you know, I was still a kid. So there were still times where I misbehaved and got in trouble and got punished for it. But for the most part, I really did want to please my parents. They were the first people in my life that I genuinely wanted to please. One, out of fear of being punished, and two, just because I knew what it felt and looked like to see my parents happy and pleased. And so, you know, 16, 18 years of that kind of bled into my interactions with other people. I could tell when someone was pleased with me and I liked that feeling. And so I didn't like the feeling that I got when I disappointed someone or I made someone feel bad. I felt incredibly guilty. I you know, again, low self-esteem is a part of that. But yeah, I just kind of never really developed the skill of telling people no when that is truly what I wanted to say. Because I guess I've just never felt safe to. And an example of this that that started when I was really young is my dad, we would have this rule where every night we had to go around the house and give every person in the family a hug goodnight and say, I love you. And, you know, this is sweet. I think my dad had really good intentions, but I do remember times where I just didn't feel like being touched or touching other bodies, even my family. Like I love my brothers. I love my parents. But there were times where I just didn't want to hug everyone. But I didn't have a choice. I had to do it. And it was the same with like growing up in the church. We had to greet everyone and give everyone hugs. And sometimes we'd get kisses on our cheeks and stuff like that. And while I don't feel like I've been assaulted or anything through this, I did feel the love coming from these people in my life. I wasn't always like, you know, it wasn't always fully consensual. Like it was just something that I had to do. It was a rule. And I had to accept that what I wanted in the moment was not important. It was, Dad said to hug everyone, to say hello. And that was what I had to do. And so a few weeks ago, a neighbor of mine, a guy that lives across the street, he and another neighbor that I hadn't met, were walking. It was pouring raining and they were standing in the street talking. And me and Mike were sitting on the porch, just enjoying the rain. And eventually they came over, they noticed and they came over, and my neighbor, he introduced this new neighbor to us, and this new neighbor, it was definitely inebriated, not like to a crazy extent, but he was definitely like kind of boisterous and loud and very talkative. And they came up on the porch, which I was happy to welcome them because it was pouring, first of all, and they were drenched. I don't know why they were standing. I mean, cool, you could stand out in the rain, but it was pouring. But yeah, we invited them onto the porch for a second. And this neighbor, this other neighbor dude, he like kind of, he introduced himself and kind of came in trying to get a hug from me. And I was like, oh no, it's okay. You're like really wet. And, you know, with a smile on my face, but really inside, I'm like, I do not want to hug you. You are soaking wet and I'm clean. So please no. But on the outside, I'm smiling and I'm like, oh no, it's okay. Trying to be nice, but also trying to say no. And he insisted. And I don't believe that he was trying to harm me or, you know, or in anything like that. But I guess I didn't feel fully comfortable saying, no, I do not want to hug you. You're wet. So I gave him a hug. And I think, you know, it just kind of ties back to my childhood and not feeling fully comfortable saying no, like as if that wasn't an option for me. And so all of this is to say that in order for me to get comfortable saying no, I need to say no. I need to tell people no and understand that they're not going to hate me for saying no. No one's going to hate me for, I mean, maybe there are some people who are going to hate me for saying no, for not wanting to hug them or for whatever reason, but that's okay too. I can accept that people will, I'm going to disappoint people when I tell them no. That is a part of life. And I think it's really important to honor what I want over what other people want more. Especially if, you know, I try my best to be a good person. I don't want to hurt anyone. And so me saying no, typically, is not going to end up hurting anyone. So yeah, that was one of the examples of something that I want to practice more of in order to get more comfortable doing. Another thing is conflict and friction in relationships. Again, because I was not really allowed to question the rules of the household growing up, there weren't a ton of opportunities for me to express how I felt about anything, rules, what we were going to be doing for the day or whatever. And whenever we'd get in trouble for, you know, something, there would be like this thick tension in the household coming mainly from my dad. He's a very like intimidating guy. And I think he knows that. But yeah, you could just kind of sense the tension and a lot of times the anger and frustration that would come off of him. And it would make me so incredibly uncomfortable and I would not know what to say. I mean, really, there was nothing I could say because he was the head of the household and what he said went. That's just how it worked. And so again, this was another thing that I just never really got practice with as a child, conflict and friction. And in relationships with friends and romantic relationships in my early 20s, yeah, I, instead of voicing concerns or gripes or criticisms about something that happened, something someone said that hurt me, I would just stay quiet because, one, I didn't really know how to form fully fleshed out thoughts about what it was that I had a problem with. And two, I just wanted to be liked and loved. I didn't want to cause any more conflict or friction. And so today, as a 32-year-old, conflict still feels very uncomfortable for me. It feels very unnatural. But being married, having been married for going on 9 years now, I have had a lot of practice. And I've been really bad at it from the beginning, and I feel like I'm just now getting pretty good, I think, at sitting with how I'm feeling, thinking about how I want to communicate to Mike how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. And it does feel like this intense ball in my chest that just wants to explode and come out somehow. It feels like I want to run away rather than sitting and talking about what I'm thinking and feeling, especially when Mike doesn't agree. And we haven't really had a ton of like really big bad arguments in our relationship, which I'm really grateful for. But anytime there is conflict or disagreement, friction, whatever you want to call it, I do feel pretty secure enough in my relationship to know that he's not going to leave me and that I can try, at the very least, try to express what it is I'm thinking and feeling. And I think I can pretty confidently say that 100% of the time, 100% of the arguments that we've had, when we're able to calm down and communicate effectively, our relationship actually ends up being stronger. And I am incredibly grateful. Again, I hope to have Mike on maybe for our anniversary. We'll do an episode together to talk about things that we've learned. But yeah, he's kind of the perfect person to practice with because he's not afraid to speak his mind, and he wants me to be okay speaking my mind. He's never been the type of person to shut me down or be dismissive like my parents have been always. And so, yeah, I get a lot of practice and I feel like encouraged to speak up. And so, yeah, I'm grateful for that. And I hope that this will lead me to being able to do that more with everyone in my life, strangers, friends, my parents, everyone, because conflict is a part of life. Friction is a part of every relationship, even the healthiest ones. And so it's something that I want to be comfortable doing, standing up for myself, speaking my mind, and being okay with whatever response I get, because at the end of the day, I gotta stick up for me and stand in what I believe and feel. So yeah, those are just a few things that I wanna be more comfortable doing. And so I'm gonna do them more often. I'm gonna try my best. I think this is something that I'm gonna be working on for a really long time, probably for the rest of my life, honestly. 30 plus years is a long time to be stuck in the same mindset, in the same like habits, like not saying no. 30 years is a long time to be saying yes to pretty much everything and like people pleasing. And so I feel like it's gonna take at least that much time to like get really good at the opposite. And that's okay. That's a part of life. That's, you know, that's how growth works, a little bit at a time. And I'm already implementing things that I'm getting from this book into my life. And I'm feeling like my brain chemistry change a lot. So it feels good. It feels good to have that power too. I feel powerful and strong and capable of making the best decisions for me and future me. So yeah. That's what I wanted to talk about today. And I guess for the sharing is caring segment, I want to share with you my absolute favorite book of all time that I think, like, I honestly would pay for everyone to read this book. I love All About Love by Bell Hooks. And so much so, I am going to reread it and I'm going to pull maybe 3 to 5 lessons from it and talk about it in a future episode as well. But please, 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 if you can, go get a library card if you don't have one already and check out All About Love by Bell Hooks. It is, depending on your upbringing, it can, you know, bring up a lot for you. But I think it would benefit a lot of people to read what bell hooks had to say. Yeah, All About Love by bell hooks. Go read it. And then a song that I'd like to share is called Ketoro. It is by, I think, I don't remember, I don't know how to pronounce it, Bitoi, B-I-T-O-I. It's interesting. The music, the lyrics are not any like real language. It says here online that the music language is based on the phonetic pronunciations of bird sounds. And so it's so beautiful and so peaceful. But this song, Ketoro, specifically, is one of those songs that I put on in the morning. And it's like, eases me into getting into the day. And it's lovely. So yeah, check that song out. And lastly, the quote that I want to share with you today is, I believe, also from Esther Perel. But it is, what is your yes worth if you never say no? I felt like that was pretty suiting for this episode. So thank you for joining me in the sunroom today, and I hope to see you here again soon. Bye.